just worship him a little bit more right now. Ah, just as you feel after him and express yourself to him. Oh, do I need Jesus right now? Anybody need Jesus right now? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. Thank you, Daddy. Well, I'm a crybaby when the presence of God's like that. Does anybody sense the need to make more room for Jesus? Is there a call from heaven to you individually as a member of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, to make more room for him? And to do that, we need his help, don't we? Does anybody agree? It's really not possible for me to be for him without his help. I need him every moment of every second of every day. Amen. We live, we move, we have our being in him. And he tells the enemy that loves to manipulate me and you for control. He tells Satan when he tempted him, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Anybody want to live? We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Apart from him speaking to me, there is no life. To make a conscious effort to develop my hearing is paramount. Would y'all agree? He or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then he says, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me, based on my decision to hear. Amen. Anybody want to see Jesus? Haven't met anybody that want to see him, but he's present right now, by the way. But your seeing is contingent upon your ability to hear. And everyone has the ability to hear. Oh, and I don't get that, Pastor. Remember this. The thing that pleases God is faith. Faith comes by not Dwayne Lowe, not the guy with the mic, but him speak. Hearing comes by hearing him. I mean, faith comes by hearing him. And so if what pleases God is faith, and he wants everybody, he's not willing that anybody perish, but that all come to repentance. Probably I should consider repenting for not developing my ear. I probably should spend some time with Daddy asking him to forgive me for not paying closer attention to his word when it comes to me. You see, his word is breath, and I need to breathe. Matter of fact, I probably need CPR right now from heaven. Anybody need some CPR? If he does CPR, you will live. I sense the enemy is like, man, he's putting the heat on me right now. Because the idea of going to church is going to die until you become the church. And his church is his bride. And she makes herself ready. She prepares herself and she adorns herself for him only, for no one else but him. Amen. You know, the love letters in the scripture, we just bringing your memory back so you can pick up where we left off, making more room for Jesus. And God is using the Song of Solomon to talk about him and his lover, his bride. He beckons her to come and run with me to the higher place. And then he says to her, gather up all those foxes. It's in reference to thoughts, mindsets, opinions, attractions. Gather up all those thoughts, those foxes that have come to ruin what I have planted in you. And he says it this way to her. He says, will you do that for me? And then he says, we'll do it together. And there's a strong indication, ladies and gentlemen, that there was something in her womb. He had planted his seed there, life. And the enemy's goal is for you and I to miscarry what God wants to birth. Is that potentially a problem that we may be facing with the enemy? Why would he want to manipulate control from me? Because the bride of Christ is powerful. And Satan wants all the power he can get. And so his goal is to cause you and I as the bride to break covenant or to violate covenant with God. It's so important for us to catch. Because if he can cause us to break covenant or violate covenant, then he can flatter us and win us over. But they that have made their mind up, I'm going to develop my ear to hear what my husband is saying. I'm going to make an effort, because the faith I need comes from hearing, not talking. I'm going to say that one more time. The faith that I need to please God does not come from talking. It comes from me listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And when he speaks, his words bring life. The disciples didn't know what to do often with him, kind of like we as the bride of Christ don't know what to do with him. And one day he said something that the bride didn't understand, or that the followers didn't understand. And he said, will you leave me too? And they said, where do we go? You have the words of life. Don't know what you just said, but we ain't leaving you. We're going to hang out with you, because we want to live. We want to experience life. Anybody want to experience life today? And so you and I, we have a decision to make. And that means your decision is all that you're in charge of, nothing else. The enemy will convince you you're in charge of more than that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the only thing you're in charge of is your choice. The moment you choose, you're worshiping either Satan or Jesus. Your choice determines who you worship, and you will worship. There is no middle ground. You're either producing good fruit or bad fruit. Is that true? No middle ground, y'all. Y'all got to catch that. It's so important that we learn to do the shut up and listen. Listen. There's relationships in here that God is about to bring into a new place of fulfillment, excitement, joy, peace, comfort, kingdom. But both parties must be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. Me with Jesus, Tammy with Jesus, when we come together, a threefold cord is not easily broken. But if Tammy's the only one hearing and I'm not hearing, we can't get together and there cannot be any unity. Unity of the Spirit requires the Spirit in our lives being Lord. And there's no Christianese talk in that. There's no religious conversations in that. Beware of the leaven from Jesus' own mouth means beware of the leaven. Be careful where you're getting your amens from, because you may not be amen in Jesus. You may be amen in the devil. Because the Jesus that most people follow isn't the true Jesus. Paul said it, 2 Corinthians, read it in your Bible. The majority of people that follow Jesus is following the other Jesus. And most Christians didn't know there were two. There's really not. It's just that Satan comes as an angel of light, and he masquerades himself to be Jesus, amen, and he manipulates for control the people who would follow Jesus, and he does it by causing them to just violate covenant with Jesus. And the moment he can get them to violate listening to Jesus and just taking some time off from Jesus, he has an ability to flatter and win them over. Have I been done that way? Yes, I have. I don't know how many times I've been done that way. I don't know. I only God could count them for me and let me know. Is this helping somebody? So now you know I'm not preaching at you. I'm letting you know what he's doing in my own life. And I want to produce good fruit, y'all. But I found out the fruit wasn't what I thought it was. It's something else. It's who he's called us to be. It's the identity he wants us to carry on his behalf. It's how he gets his glory. When I produce his attitude, his spirit, his nature, his attitude, his spirit, his nature, which is a beatitude, he is glorified. Guess when the glory that he gets happens? When I'm in the fire. When it's not fair, when the pushback is, well, I'm American, I have rights. Well, I was told I deserve and I am entitled. Who told you that? The other Jesus will tell you that. And he'll convince you that you have me time that you deserve. And every time I take me time, it's a bad time. I'm not fulfilled after me time. I'm not complete. I'm lacking. And there's stuff that happens when I do the me time thing. Without God, we're messed up. But with God, life. The Lord asked me when I got up this morning, how can you prove that you're accountable to me, son? And he said, how can I prove that you're accountable to me? He talked like that to me. And so I'm thinking about, what is my proof that I'm accountable to God? Making room for him is important. We're talking today about mercy, or blessing. And to the guests, thank you for coming today. You're probably thinking, I want both of those. I do too. I live more on the mercy side than I do on the blessing side, though. What are you saying? Has anybody knew you was out of line with God before? And the curses is anxiety, depression, anger, frustration, guilt, shame, sickness. And the list, it keeps going on. And I'm over here wondering what's wrong. I'm not on the blessing side, y'all. I'm on the curse side. And the Lord is working with me in my anxiety, in my anger, in my red lights. Long suffering, he is giving me mercy. The only reason I'm not annihilated and dead is because of mercy. And then on the mercy side, where I'm being disobedient, he's developing me. And he's teaching me to eventually, you know what? I'm going to get this amen right. And the only way you can know that you're accountable to him is you bear his attitude, which is a beatitude. And these beatitudes, which is the image and the identity that he chose you to host on his behalf, in his name. So when you do anything in the name of Jesus, there better be some beatitudes there. Has anybody taken the name of the Lord in vain before? Some of you think that's cursing. Mm-mm. It has nothing to do with cursing. We've all been on the curse side. When you go down in the water in the name of Jesus and you don't mean it, you just get wet and you was, I'm a believer. And you don't let the nature of God, Christ in you, go to work forming himself in you so that he can receive his glory, you took the name of the Lord in vain. Baptism. Well, by the way, if you need to be baptized today, we have water. Amen. But to honor his name is to be accountable to him in relation to his fruit, which is beatitude. Amen. And so we live, we move, and we have our being in him. And Jesus tells the devil, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The question today is, what are you telling the devil? You want to put the devil on the run 7 different ways? Take the time and develop your ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when you come to a place where you decide once and for all, I only say what I hear the one I'm accountable to say, then the enemy is running 7 different ways. Every one of you in this room is gifted and called by God, empowered by him, if you'll let him, to put the enemy on the run in our world. Our community is waiting for you and I to happen. What's going to happen? Christ, he's going to manifest. They won't see you, they'll see him, because I'm accountable to that. I can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now the bride, we're the bride, we're all members of the bride, we're hard-headed. And you can say amen to that. I mean, I'm not asking for it, but we don't know nothing. Now, guest, we've already had this conversation from heaven to earth. But Adam wouldn't deceive, Eve was. And I'm not talking about girls and boys. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his bride. Jesus knows everything. I don't know nothing. And I need Jesus. And I need to make more room for him. Room for what? His living word, his breath. Because when he breathes into me, he's putting seed in the womb. This is so important. He's seeding the womb of his bride. My son came up to the office today and he said, "Dad, thank you for bringing me into this world, because mama wasn't probably in the mood." I know we just laughed just then. I did, I cackled. But that should be convicting. That really should. That was somebody being comical to him, and he thought he'd come up and mess my morning up like that. Because I got convicted. I am a member of the bride of Christ. And the enemy wants to abort what he's planted in us. The enemy don't want it born. And he wants the bride unattracted to her husband and trying to be in charge. The enemy wants the bride, he wants the church unattracted to her husband and always going to get her me time in. And you can't be on the blessed side and be unattracted to being with your husband. You can only experience the mercy of God, of which I am highly convicted of. He got my number on the fact that I've been taking advantage of his mercy and not being mindful of what he needed. And he needs me to be real close to him all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. He needs his body. He needs his body because his body is his womb. I'm a helpmeet. As the bride, we're a helpmeet to what? His purpose. If I have a purpose and it's not his purpose, he's working with me with his mercy. I'm not being blessed. If I need to be seen, then that means it's not necessary for him to be seen. If I need people to tell me I'm significant, then what I'm saying is I need you to not pay attention to Jesus, pay more attention to me. Y'all, the guy in the mirror is a messed up dude. This flesh is hostile. It don't stop trying to be in charge. Jesus loves you. How does he love us? It says that those whom he loves, he rebukes and he disciplines. How do you know you're being loved? What he's telling me as the bride, will you shut up and listen? You talk too much. You get yourself in trouble all the time because you think you're smart. You don't know nothing. Is that a pretty strong rebuke? And he's asking me as the bride of Christ to earnestly repent. It says it right there in the, those whom he loves, he rebukes and he chastens. And they earnestly repent. Anybody want to make more room for Jesus? You see, a broken and a contrite spirit, he will in no likewise turn away. But when I come around my Lord and Savior as though I've got it together, And that, Lord, you need me to take care of anything? Y'all praying for me yet? Theme verse. And John the Baptist comes on the scene. And he says it this way. Matthew 3. He says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Why are you quoting that? That's a tough scripture. No, that's a great, that's a good news. What's good about that? The axe is laid at the root of the tree, and that the tree does not produce good fruit. It is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, what's good news about that? Because every one of us have to be cut down, all of us. All of us. It's the mercy of God. Anybody need the mercy? Yeah. You need the mercy of God to come and cut down everything that's not like him in your life. The fruit is beatitude. Unless I have his attitude, I'm not a follower of Christ. The only way that I can follow him is be like him, walk like him, talk like him. And I hadn't met very many Christians that do that. Now, keep in mind, as long as you're going after Jesus, you got hope. And he takes us as we are. Matter of fact, man, when we get there, wherever there is, we're going to think, man, I don't deserve this. That's right. You have the right attitude. But I love you. You're so awful. This is Jesus talking to his kid. He loves us. And we get away with stupid all the time. And he keeps loving me while I keep doing stupid with a bad attitude. Oh, I give you the story. I love my little Brody. Picked him up Monday. And he had attitude personified. And he wanted everybody to know, here I am, and don't get in my way. And I mean for you to recognize I need you to do what I want you to do. I mean, he was, and like, hey, son, that ain't going to have a good day like that. And he was persistent. And Macy's big old eyes are looking at me. You're doing this with Papa. So I said, son, we're going to have a good day today. I know you ain't having a hard time believing that. We're going to have fun today. I said, in just a few moments, we're going to have fun. So I went around there, picked him up, and he didn't like me picking him up. Brought him over to my chair because he's acting up all the way home. I said, we're going to clean this up, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have a blast. You're going to remember this day. I went, picked him up, and brought him to my recliner, set him down in my lap, and he was like, no, and I just gave him a big old hug. Said, I'm going to hug you. You may not like this hug, but I'm going to love you. And I'm just positive and talking to him. We're going to have a good day here just a little bit. And he can't move. And he don't like that. Anybody? Jesus has to do that to us sometimes. And I'm holding them there and I'm saying, I know you feel like you're having a bad day right now, but in just a moment, you're going to realize that you can have a wonderful day the rest of the day. And he can't move. About 45 seconds later, he says, I'm good, Papa. I think I'm going to have a good day. This is what's awesome. I released him. I said, you good? Everything calm? Yeah. Now, for you that may not understand, children get attacked by spirits. Yeah, they were. If you go read your Bible, there were children that were possessed by demons. And our world and our culture is facilitating a continual bombardment on the ones that God has called his heritage, and it's up to us to make sure they get to Jesus. And since I don't care about the idea of putting a millstone around my neck and go jumping in the lake and drowning, I decided I was going to tend to God's heritage and put my love on and be Christ. And Brody got a rebuke and he got some discipline because I love him. About 30 minutes later, him and Macy come to Papa together. I had some ideas that she was stirring him up and causing him a bad day. And both of them came and said, Papa, we shouldn't have been acting like that, and I shouldn't have did this to Brody, and we want you to know we're not going to do that no more. Awesome. Wow. What a demonstration of perfect praise from children. Well, they wasn't talking to Papa. They were talking to Jesus. The next day, they come and rehearsed it again. We just want to be sure you understand, Papa, we shouldn't have acted that way. I got two. What do you think Daddy's telling me? What kind of ministry is going on through those children to me about being hard-headed as a member of the bride, thinking that, you know, you picked me as your bride, I can have it my way. Got a few more moments here. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. And if the tree does not produce good fruit, he rebukes and he chasteneth them that he loves. And he puts us in the fire. Old timers would call it the woodshed. And he turns the heat up because he loves us. Brody and Macy knew that was love the way I handled it. They knew it. Now Dathan and Devin and Deanna will tell you, I didn't handle it just like that with them. She could come get the mic and tell you that. It was a little bit of frustration and anger that I was trying to hide, and attitude. All right, y'all wanna go head to head? And I wasn't producing good fruit. I hadn't met very many parents, because you got the group that don't do nothing, and you got the group that go overboard. You got to get Jesus to get in the flow and the current. Some of y'all just got delivered just then. And some of you decided, you know what, I'm fixing to love my children. I'm going to make sure they get to Jesus, because Jesus is going to make sure I get to him too. And most of us, the problems that we have in our life are all self-inflicted because we talk too much and we're too in charge and we think we know something. Look, I need Jesus, y'all. I'm serving here as a senior leader to this house and I don't know nothing, but I need Jesus. And I've discerned it that I'm going to know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. I am going to embrace that old rugged tree called the cross, the tree of life, and I'm going to get everything I can from that old rugged cross that I need. Because in that cross is all I need to know, and he loves me. And from that cross, if I'll yield with a right spirit and submit, he can put into the very womb, his body, the seed that needs to get there. So what do I know? And John goes on and he says, after he says, the tree is thrown into the fire. And he goes and he confirms what, you know, God loves them. He chasteneth them. And they earnestly repent. He said, I baptized you unto the baptism of repentance. Right after he says the tree's thrown into the fire, rebuke and reproof is happening right now. That's not me. That's got to be burned up. And you need to get an attitude of repentance. He said, I baptize you with the baptism of repentance. He said, but he that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose, he gonna baptize you with spirit and with fire. Now, if you're not walking where you can say, I'm accountable to God, you need the spirit and fire. You need empowerment. And for you that have received the spirit and fire and not let it stay, you just stay on fire, stir up the gift, praying in the spirit. Get back on fire. In other words, fall back in love with your husband, Jesus. Submit yourself. Be broken and contrite. Listen. Quit talking. And let him breathe into you and plant within you the living word, which brings forth good fruit and brings him his glory. Is anybody catching this? It's really simple and light. Amen. You know, there was a character in the Bible named Lazarus. And the scriptures indicate that Jesus and Lazarus was very close. And Martha and Mary sent a message to Jesus that the one you love is sick unto death. We all read it if you read the Bible. And then Jesus tarried another few days. And after a few days, he turns to his followers and he says, look, our friend sleeps. Let's go wake him up. Now we know the story, but this is what the Spirit of God breathed into my spirit. He said, consider my son Lazarus and his attitude. You're going to catch this in a minute. He said, Lazarus was okay with however I came because we were close. Just get the message to him, and however he wants to do it, I'm all on board. Are you that way with Jesus? However he wants to come, whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you're dealing with, whatever looks like unfair, messed up. Anybody got some messed up situations right now? Can he come the way he wants to come? Because Jesus don't look at death like we look at it. We freak out over it. We don't want to do it. And he's saying, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. But that's where the miracle's at. Jesus didn't look at death like most people. He turned to his boys and said, hey, our friend's asleep. Let's go wake him up. Amen. Are you ready to let some things die in your life that need to die? I just wonder how that impacted Lazarus when he walked out of that tomb in grave clothes. I just wonder what Lazarus brought to the table after he was okay with however Jesus wanted to do it. Isn't that interesting? Now, all of us have been the prodigal at some place, at some time in our life, haven't we? Amen. Remember what we opened up with tonight, today? My ability to see is solely attached to my ability to hear. Because if I can hear, I can have faith. If I have faith, that pleases God. And now my vision begins to open. And I can see through a glass darkly, but I can see. Some of us need to get our eyes open. But God wants you and I to get to the place where he can open up our eyes to the place that we could see far. Do y'all believe that Jesus wants to do that through you? Is he after a harvest right now? Is he? Yeah. He's after you and I being focused on what he's focused on. Now, as the bride of Christ, he's chose us. If we can't see, it's on us. The only reason as a believer I can't see is because I made a choice not to be on the blessed side. I made a decision that I'm just going to have it my way. And I'm going to live for Jesus based on all the other relationships around me that live for Jesus, because we've been talking about what living for Jesus looks like, and this is the way it is. And you got around the wrong Jesus group because they don't bear the fruit. Anybody been around Christians that don't bear the fruit? But they can quote the scriptures, and they can give Bible studies, and they go feed the poor, and they do all kind of good things. It's just not God things. Are y'all tracking yet? There ain't an ounce of beatitudes coming out of them. There's attitudes, all right, but it ain't beatitudes. But because they can quote the scripture and they can measure the next person based on what their perception of good and evil is, here we go, we're talking. Well, I can't believe so-and-so. My God, that's so ungodly. Y'all been around that kind of talk, haven't you? Well, let me tell you about the guy in the truck. Let me tell you about the guy in the mirror. I'm driving down the road, y'all, and this is altar call, by the way, right now. I need to go to the altar. I'm driving, and I'm pondering about someone I love that if they would just do this, they would have a better day. Yo, I actually did that. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, oh, so your way is the best way. And I knew then I just messed up. And I was just thinking. I wasn't saying nothing out loud. I was just thinking. Didn't say nothing out loud. I wasn't talking. And the Lord said, yeah, but you're my lover. And I need you to gather up all those foxes, every thought and every imagination that exalts itself above me. In other words, it causes you to break covenant with me so that the enemy can flatter you and win you over to a Christianese idea that you're okay. They're wrong, I'm right, and they should do it my way, and they'll have a better day. He's so good at how he does it. He's so good at it. And while he's doing it, I'm missing a miracle. While I'm thinking about how people need to straighten up and do it my Bible study way, I'm missing out on God putting seed in me that's going to cause my vision to get better so I can see further. And instead of worrying about where people are, might be in a pig's pen. We've all been there. That's where we came to our senses, by the way. I can see them. And while they're repenting, I'm running to them. I'm being like my daddy, because the Father can see afar. And while you and I were navigating slowly, how are we going to get this right with daddy? He's running, because he don't stop looking, reaching, loving, focused. Is anybody tracking yet? Yes, this world is in some darkness. It's messed up. There's trouble on every side. Would y'all agree? The evil, tomorrow, the evil thereof is sufficient for itself. Simple interpretation, don't worry about it. That's what Jesus, don't pay attention to what's wrong on the right or on the left, whether you're conservative or liberal. Don't pay attention, don't get sucked in. We ain't got time. We got time just enough to train our ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. He's in charge. What's trouble on the right and left? What's going to happen tomorrow? That's not in charge. He's in charge. Am I in covenant with him or not is the question. Y'all, I've had to go back and repent for not staying focused on covenant with him, devoted to him and him alone. He never talks to me about what you're doing wrong. He's always talking to me about me. And for some reason, he draws you here to this little location because he wants me to talk to you about what he's doing in my life. And it's supposed to give you hope that he can close the gap and make the difference. And you didn't come here today because you were smart. And from my lens, everybody in this room has got some intelligence in my IQ, but you came here because the Spirit drew you here. We don't get to God because we're smart. We get to God because his Spirit draws us to him. He knows how to woo us. He wears the right cologne. He knows how to say it. And he is not looking at what we look at. But man, guys, as much as I hate, we're members of the bride. We must be just like girls in some cases. Worried about what he's thinking about us. So we are girly a little bit. Something about you and I as a slave girl that we are, it didn't bother him. He took us as we are. The question today is, do you need him? And he wants me to be very provocative right now with you. He wants to bless you. But there's lots of things we do in his name that's not in his name. And we're living on the curse side and he ain't blessing it. And all you need to do today is with a broken and a contrite spirit is repent. It's a bad word in our culture. And a lot of churches are doing away with it. But at New Life Fellowship, we're encouraging it. Repent. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Surrender, submit, humble. Prepare yourself and adorn yourself for him only. He sees you and he loves you way more than you love him. You'll never match his love for you, but it can grow. Your love for him can grow, but you'll never match it. And he won't stop. Could you stand? Guest, we're going to take advantage here right now and let the Lord just love on us. But if you need to leave, you're welcome to. Thank you for coming today. And let me say to you before you leave, one of the greatest events that you could ever participate with, let me say it this way. The greatest day of the year out of 365 days in a year is the day of Passover. There's not a day that matches what Jesus did for us. And he asked us 2,000 years ago, all that would follow him, when you do this in remembrance of me. We're talking about Passover. And interesting enough in our world, so you can understand how the other Jesus is really doing his job well, he's got the masses following him, is that for some reason this year, we celebrated Resurrection Day before he died. That ought to concern you. That ought to concern you. Because disciples of the apostles were burned at the stake and died for Passover. Did y'all know that? Oh, do your history. They were burned at the stake because they would not change the date of Passover to meet another Christian idea. Nicholas done his job well. I want to be on the blessed side, y'all. And if Jesus is asking me to remember him on a certain date and to do something in remembrance of him, that's going to be the most important day of the year, because that's our husband. That's our Lord. That's our Father. Is that checking? If there's another day in the year that I celebrate more than I do that day, I need to make an adjustment. If I put more energy into any other day of the year but that day, I probably need to repent. Because that was his way of wooing me into coming into covenant with him. And he gave it all. Won't charge you for that. I need Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for the opportunity to host your presence. And you would trust me to tell my story of how you're making things different in my life. And you're working with challenging clay here, but thank you, Lord. Only you can do it. I'm asking you, Lord, let there be a breath of hope in every life. And as you fell upon the group in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts 10:19, and you filled the house wherewith they were sitting, let your spirit and fire become so real to everyone in this room right now. Because it's with you and you only that we can make this journey. Have it your way, Father. Breathe upon them. Bring life into every situation that's dead. Let a testimony be born in every life. Could we lift our hands up to Daddy like children? Pick me up, Daddy. Here I am. I want to be in your lap. Hold me until I have a good day. Hold me prisoner in your love until the miracle of peace and joy begins to just shower down upon me. Prayer team, if you'll come, we're going to pray with anyone that wants to get prayer today in agreement for a miracle in your life. God bless you.